Today, I'm not only introducing you to one of my wisest and dearest friends, but the one who has been my partner in crime the whole time with Face School, and that is Miss Yvette Allen. In this episode, we discuss our new Life Decluttered mini challenge and cover the 7 topics in that challenge: the home, calendar, digital space, mind, heart, body, and spirit. This episode is so packed with so much goodness and is a great companion episode to the challenge that we're running live starting today, June 13th through the 19th. So listen in to get inspired to make room for the good things of God and the abundant life. Welcome to the Making Room Semester of Faith School podcast. This podcast is for women of faith who are ready to be transformed from the inside out, to integrate their life in faith, and to begin a life on mission. This practical podcast is not just a list of how-tos, but it's here to prompt you to take action and adopt the kingdom way of life, surrender to a holy God. My name is Leah, and I'm joining you in the messy middle of a surrendered faith. So come on in, take a seat. Class is now in session. To those of you who are new to the podcast, welcome. And to my old faithfuls, welcome back. As I mentioned earlier, we are going to be covering a lot of ground in this episode, but our challenge is actually just a great first step towards that decluttered yet abundant life. In the challenge, you can knock out each daily task in 10 minutes for 7 days. We'll be doing one decluttering task per day, tackling each of the areas that I mentioned earlier. So the home, calendar, digital space, mind, heart, body, and spirit. Go to the link in our show notes for a copy of the challenge PDF and to follow us live this week with daily videos with some extra quick tips. I honestly would hate for you to miss out on this opportunity to make room for the abundant life in a new, exciting, kingdom-minded way. Grab your copy today through the link in our show notes. All right, here is my conversation with my dear, dear friend, Yvette Allen. Welcome everybody to Faith School. And this is actually kind of a fun, exciting day because someone who's been behind the scenes with me is here, one of my nearest and dearest, Yvette. And so I am very, very excited that she is here today to talk to us and we can discuss the challenge that we're doing next week on June 13th to the 19th. Yeah, we're excited about this challenge and we just want to kind of discuss a little bit more about it. So Yvette, welcome.
Thank you for welcoming me. I will try not to make any funny faces because we're staring longingly at each other's eyes right now. We're sharing a mic. We're like 3 inches away from each other. So I'm trying to not make Leah continually burst into laughter. So no promises. I will be editing this. So if I need to, I can edit that out.
Yeah. Well, we are going to be talking a lot about the abundant life, and this is something that we've been in conversation a little bit about over the last little bit and really try to like dig into. And the idea of making room for the abundant life is something that we have been exploring on the show with all of our guests over this, you know, last semester. And you have been editing all of them. So what do you think?
Well, question for you, Leah.
Yes.
Why did you connect decluttering with the concept of abundant life? Do you remember how that idea even started in your brain?
Well, I remember the phrase making room came to mind, and I was trying to figure out like, okay, what exactly does that look like? And I think we, even when we were discussing it, we went in like all sorts of different directions of like, what could this look like? Because we sit and discuss everything and go through every possible theological implication and all the things, because we quite enjoy that. But yeah, I remember like the idea of making room came up and it was like, we took it so many different places. It was hard to know kind of where to go with it. How do we make room for the Lord? Like that was initially my thought. How do we make room for God? And well, you just do that by doing your disciplines. That's kind of in my mind where I was kind of going with it.
Of course you think disciplines.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's, you know.
It's your jam.
It's my jam. But I don't know. We had started talking about the abundant life or something like that came up. I can't remember. But it was just the idea of like, oh, man, I don't know if we can have abundant life unless we are willing to surrender so much of what we claim as important or what we claim as essential to our lives that aren't, right? There's obviously the essentials that we want to keep. But there's things that we've made essential that are not important, even to our faith,
there's different things that we could say that we've made really important in Western Christianity that we've said is essential, like a good worship set or whatever. I don't know.
Definitely essential.
Yeah. And I guess just like wanting to ask, is it actually essential for us to experience abundant life? Is it essential for me to be, as a woman, to be a wife and a mom and whatever in order to have abundant life? And I remember some of the first conversations that you and I ever had was around, you know, singleness. And yes, absolutely, the abundant life is not attached to our relationship status. An abundant life is in our relationship with the Lord. So anyway, I think it's just kind of been floating around, and then to make the connection of, you know, we actually need to get rid of the stuff that's in the way of us experiencing a full abundant life with Jesus. But one of the things that I loved about our conversation was when I asked you, what do you think the abundant life is? How would you actually define it? And that's something that we've been asking our guests about over the last couple episodes. But I absolutely love your response to this.
When I thought about that question, the thing that came to mind and seemed to resonate at least is the abundant life is living as fully human. Or because we're in the already not yet of the kingdom, living as becoming fully human, right? We were made to be fully human. And there are many things in our lives that detract or stifle or suffocate different parts of being human. And Christ graciously came to demonstrate what it means to live fully human. So I think in a text message to you, because you texted me randomly, didn't even know what the context was. Those are the good friends conversations. Yeah. Like, hey, what does it mean to live the abundant life? Good question. I said, living abundantly is living as becoming fully human, seeing that as the purpose, and accepting and receiving and imbibing every moment as a stitch in the tapestry he is forming, trusting the one who forms, the one who sees the end, and the one who is utterly present. That's been changing my mentality of all of life, really, is recognizing that Christ has come to redeem. He's come to bring his rule and reign. That's what we see all throughout the Gospels over and over, is that the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is near. And so when in 1 Peter it tells us, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope completely on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Oh, just saw a footnote. The Greek is girding up the loins of your mind. Great imagery. Thank you. Thank you, Paul.
Oh, that's awesome.
But even just looking at how he said completely, not just set your hope in general, but set your hope completely. It's like this should be the foundation of how we're orienting ourselves and the end of how we're orienting ourselves. So setting our hope completely on the fact that God is going to resurrect, going to redeem ourselves, our bodies, our all that it means to be human, as well as all of creation, and seeing how we move through life as individuals and as a church, as being a part of that redemption of all of creation. So that's pretty abundant to me.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah, it just shifts things so much. Like I said, I think we have made certain things seem so essential for us to thrive. This is the idea that we are participating in the kingdom, and that abundant life is participating in that good work that Christ has, that he came to do and that he walked out. Like, what a joy it is for us to be able to participate in that and allowing ourselves to be fully redeemed. That is a part of kingdom work.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to go into a little bit more of the challenge and to talk about kind of the different areas that we're going to declutter so that we can more fully walk in the abundant life that we are promised as Christ followers. So the challenge is called Life Decluttered Mini Challenge. And the idea is that we're going to go through seven different areas of our lives:
the home, calendar, digital space, mind, heart, body, and spirit,
and be able to take out some of the clutter, some of the distractions, some of the things that are getting in the way of our relationship with the Lord. And so there's seven different categories. And the idea is that you'll be able to complete each day in 10 minutes.
Did you choose seven on purpose because it's the number of completion?
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Holy Spirit. But as you were talking about the challenge, I'm always thinking, why? Why would I do this challenge?
Yeah.
Why create this challenge? And then I was just thinking of the verse where Jesus says that he came to give us life, life abundant. And right before that, in John 10:10, he says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they will have life and have it abundantly." Mm. So in contrast to the abundant life is the thief,
yeah,
stealing, killing, and destroying, because we're either under God's kingdom or under the kingdom of darkness. Mm. And so if we're not actually being like, "Lord, okay, I'm under your submission, I'm under your lordship, mm-hmm. and I'm going to align my life with the things that you say I should be aligned with,"
mm-hmm.
then if we're not doing that, then that means the thief's got fair game. He's got ground. That's right. He's got places to be able to make a foothold.
Ooh. That's good.
We both don't want that, but also like that abundant life, that's some good life. Mm-hmm. Like joy of the Lord, our strength. Mm-hmm. We get to overflow with his goodness, his grace, his glory. There's going to be hardship and affliction, but
yeah,
to know that there's that peace that surpasses understanding and that joy and being able to walk in the flourishing that the Lord intended for us mm-hmm. from before we were born, mm-hmm. right? Like there's a lot of goodness. So hopefully this challenge can continue us
in
that direction.
That's so good. I didn't even like put that together.
Hmm. Teamwork makes the dream work.
That's right. That's right. That's so good. Okay, so we're going to go into kind of going through some of the categories that we're going to be going through in the challenge. And the first one is the home. Now, for me, my home, I mean, right now it's a construction zone. So it doesn't quite feel like my sanctuary. But normally, that's how I would describe our house. It's like, it's a sanctuary for myself and for my family. But what I noticed is that I have so much stuff that it is hard to maintain. It is hard to be clear-headed within my own home because there's just so much going on here. So the idea behind day one of being the home that we're going to declutter is we're going to be getting rid of the physical things that are getting in the way of us experiencing the Lord in a much fuller way. And there's like actually a lot of, didn't you know, there's actually a lot of, well, you probably knew this. There's actually a lot of psychology around our clutter and our mental state, which is so interesting to me.
Yeah.
And so I tend to be a little bit more of a clutter bug. I'm working on that so that my home can be even more of a sanctuary. Do you find that, Yvette? Do you find that the stuff in your like physical space, that it is a distraction for you? How do you deal with that?
I think as I age, I'm starting to become more cognizant of how the space around me affects me,
mm.
positively, negatively. So mm-hmm. I'm thankful for that. But it might be slightly problematic that I'm very good at being able to block out whatever is around and mm-hmm. I don't know, have peace within, even if it looks chaotic externally. But one of the things that I have been challenged by or convicted by, whatever language we want to use,
mm-hmm.
is even if I can be internally at peace and, you know, my space might not mess up my peace,
mm-hmm.
but then thinking of what is the purpose of the space.
Right.
And yes, there's a sense where the space might be mine,
mm-hmm.
but of course, everything we have, all of us should be continually surrendered to the Lord and thinking of how service for community, being able to be available to mm-hmm. create and serve and give is so essential to being the church, the body of Christ. And so can my space be a space that is ready to be,
mm-hmm.
just like how Isaiah is like, "Hey, send me, I'll go." But even thinking of that for my space, can right. my space be ready to be like, "Hey, there's a need. Can it be used yeah. in service?" So that has also been kind of shifting how I think about the space around me.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, no, it's true, because I mean, we have allowed people into our imperfect space, but there is something about, yeah, preparing a place for our people to
yeah.
feel safe, to feel known and loved through the physical things and our physical place that we're in. I love that. I love that. All right, day two is the calendar. And for me, this is definitely the one of my weaknesses. I have... She's giving me the face. I have a hard time saying no to things being put on my calendar. I mean, everything is color-coded and it seems somewhat organized.
It's very pretty.
But
I'm a witness.
But it's definitely a lot. It's definitely a lot on there. Actually, one of the things that I'm like kind of nervous about moving to a new place is, one, I don't want to clutter my calendar up all over again. Or the opposite of like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen if I have nothing on my calendar?
Hmm.
So I'm kind of wrestling with that a little bit myself. But the calendar is one of those things that we can actually declutter. Like, we can make time and space to encounter the Lord. that means having to actually put boundaries around our calendar, which is, I think, kind of maybe a big struggle for a lot of women out there. Maybe just me. I don't know.
Yeah, just definitely just you. I don't think anyone else has that problem.
One of the best things about our relationship is that we are like so polar opposite in like so many ways.
It's true.
It's so good.
It's very true. But I do have that issue in my own way, of course. Mm-hmm. But one of the things in the last couple of years, going through the Gospels and thinking, okay, what do we see about Jesus's life? And one of the things that always strikes me, like probably every time I read through any gospel, mm-hmm. I'm like, maybe every miracle, if not most of them, yeah. that Jesus does is on the way to something, right?
Yes. Yeah.
He's on the way somewhere, but he has space. He has margins in his life where he can respond to the need in front of him.
Yeah.
And I personally felt very convicted by that. And like, when my schedule is totally full and I'm just rushing from thing to thing, I don't have the space to be able to respond to whatever the Lord is just doing. Yeah. Right there in front of me in that moment. You don't right. even have the capacity to see it. So being able to actually have margins, space between things so that you can move through life being like, Lord, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
maybe I get to have the joy of being the hands and feet to meet yeah. whatever needs.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Oh, I yeah. love that. It reminds me of John Mark Comer's book of like the ruthless elimination, ruthless elimination of hurry.
I like that title. You can't hurry through it.
No, you can't.
That was probably intentional.
Yeah.
So put it, how many syllables can we put in three words so that you can't hurry through it?
Exactly. But it does remind me of that. And that he says, you know, like we're just rushing from thing to thing. The idea of trying to eliminate that hurry, I think that that would actually make us more alive to what the Spirit is doing in any given moment, right? For us to be present to what he is doing. And that is making room for him, right? So I don't know. I love that idea of like slowing down enough to acknowledge where he is, what he's doing, and to be a participant in that instead of just rushing right by it on our way to the next thing.
I really like the way you worded that because so many times we fill up our schedules because we're thinking we don't have enough time. We're going to miss doing things. We're going to miss out on things. Mm-hmm. But then really, if filling up our calendar is making us miss the best things, the whole mm-hmm. reason for living, then it can kind of can do some CBT, cognitive behavior therapy on ourselves and be like, really, the missing out is happening if we are rushing from thing to thing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you had mentioned that you're moving soon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sadly and excitedly, together we can hold two things at once.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, oh, I don't want to fill up my calendar, but then also what's going to happen if my calendar is empty?
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me more about that? What do you think it is that you fear?
I think what I've learned over the last year, and maybe more specifically in the last like 4 or 5 months, is that the Lord really has wanted me to work on my striving. So a lot of my calendar has to do with me trying to like prove my worth and trying to feel like I'm doing enough for the Lord. And it's interesting because I think in the past, it would have been, I want to do enough for my principal to know that I'm like a good enough teacher or
right.
whatever, right? To be recognized. And then I feel like it almost just like transferred over, you know, when I was doing more ministry
right.
to like, I want the Lord's approval.
And it's wonderful that you're bringing Christ, your faith, to the yeah. center of your life. But it's amazing how we can still bring some of those unredeemed mentalities totally. To our faith, right? We all do it and don't even realize it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So this is, I think I'm just kind of afraid of what it'll mean not to work for my worth or work for his affection. And I've learned a lot about, like, I've just realized how much bigger God is than me or what I can put forth, right, for him. And so I've learned a lot over the last, like I said, maybe 5 months.
Yeah.
It's been a huge transition for me. But at the same time, there's still a little bit of fear of like, what will I be worth if I don't have anything on the calendar, if that makes sense. So, I mean, that's a lot of heart stuff, right, to kind of dig through and heal. It's still in the process of healing that. But
and yeah. we're not at heart on the list. And no. it's important to go in order. So your heart's going to have to wait, Leah.
Okay, fine.
And I jest because I'm the one who's really bad at categories in order and just jumping around everywhere. So yeah. I'm trying to somewhat pretend I'm adhering to the structure Leah lovingly and brilliantly laid out for us.
It's okay. Keep me on track. Keep me on track. All right. Well, the next one is digital. Speaking of keeping on track, the next one is digital. And this is something that, you know, it's obviously a lot newer. We can't go into the scriptures and be like, okay, Lord, where am I decluttering in the digital? It's not going to plainly be there.
As we look on our phones to find those scriptures.
Exactly. Exactly. So I think this is something for us to really bring before the Lord and to be very mindful of Holy Spirit and our interaction with the digital world, let's say, or our digital clutter. And so on a more practical level, what we'd like to do with the challenge is to say, hey, let's look at, for instance, our inboxes and how much are we allowing to come in that's actually distracting us and cluttering up an area that could be more free and light for the Lord. And so on the challenge, we're going to be going through our inboxes and unsubscribing from a lot of emails that
Hallelujah.
We just don't need anymore. And oh my goodness, okay, from my American listeners, I heard of a program called Unroll Me.
Ooh.
Yeah, can't get it in Canada.
Of course.
Yeah, but yeah, you can, like, within 10 minutes, you can unsubscribe from basically all of your unwanted email lists that you're a part of. All the things you've subscribed to. So
love it.
We should put that in the show notes because I think that would be really helpful for people. It's a free app.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things for digital that I like to think about as well, I'm always thinking about what is the disposition that we have toward any of these categories, right? So one thing that we can have a tendency to do is think, this is bad. It is not, as you said, it's not in scripture.
Right.
The early church didn't use it, or, you know, kind of thinking in some of those ways.
Yeah.
Maybe not to that extreme, but it can be like, oh, this is just one of the, we live in a fallen world and it's just one of the things we have to deal with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I personally, anyways, like to think of it as we are made in the image of God, who is the creator.
Yeah.
And how amazing it is that humans have created this thing where we can do more creating. Like, it seems like there's a reflection of the Lord in the fact that we have this digital world.
Yeah.
Right. And there are many opportunities for humans to be able to flourish more by using technology and the digital world.
Mm-hmm.
So thinking of, how am I using technology and what is it serving? What does each piece of technology and, like, the actions that I'm doing, the clicking that I'm doing, the emails I'm following, what is it serving? What is it going toward? Right.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's serving our, you know, mental health, which is something that would be aligned in the abundant life. Sometimes it's serving other people, serving our ability to do good work,
right?
Which is a wonderful part of being human. And sometimes it's not. Sometimes we're not even aware. Sometimes it encourages us to live passively, unconsciously. Which is so sad. We're missing life, right?
Mm-hmm.
To live asleep, that is the opposite of what the Lord would want us to do. So,
Oh, that's so good. That's so good. I mean, we've discussed, me and you have discussed before, just like how my mind always goes to, okay, well, like, what does that practically look like, right? How can we redeem that? I think that's something that's probably more of going to the Lord more individually, you know, and being like, okay, can you redeem this in my life? And, you know, how can I fully surrender this part? Because I think it is something that can become passive really, really easily.
Yeah.
Right. And we can use it as kind of a way to numb or to even, okay, what information am I engaging on? How, I mean, what we talked about with Amber last episode was like, what am I being formed by?
Yes.
So what in my digital world is actually forming my mind and my heart and my relationship with Jesus ultimately? So.
And to be an active participant in making those choices as to what is forming us, right? Seeing it as something that is empowering, making these choices rather than, oh, I need to be legalistic and make sure I'm making the right choices so I'm not failing. It's okay, I recognize that I can have some power and some participation with the Lord in my becoming more mature and complete so that I'm not lacking anything, which we will eventually be in that state. But moving more toward that is it's a gift that we get to participate in.
Yeah, totally. The next section is the mind and decluttering the mind. And when I was thinking about this on a more practical level, I was thinking more of like the mental load that we carry. So for people that are maybe new to that term, ultimately, it's just what is kind of the weight of all of the things in our mind, all the things that we're taking on, that we're thinking about constantly. So like as a mother, mental load is crazy because you're thinking, okay, even just first thing in the morning, I have to get him up at the right time. So I'm trying to time it out right where he is out of bed and he's getting dressed and he's going to the bathroom and he's getting his breakfast. And then we're getting our shoes and coat on. So I'm going to make sure that there's enough time for all of that thing. But I also have to make sure that he has clean clothes so that he can get out the door and that his snacks are packed. You know, like there's so much that just weighs. And so it's a really hard thing to declutter.
Yeah.
But I think that there are ways to do it. I think there is ways that we can kind of eliminate the things that don't need to be there, right? The pressures that we put on ourselves to get it all of it. For me, I was even thinking about yesterday, I went to Micah's preschool end of the year party and just seeing all the different moms there and how they're interacting with their kids. And I was just thinking to myself, man, I just feel so underprepared as a mother. Mm. And so like, seems like they've got everything in place to make sure that their kid is like happiest and safest and whatever. And I seem to struggle to get all of that together for myself. But then I thought, you know what? I think that's just like the enemy trying to take away from my identity or part of my identity as a mother. And I know that I'm doing the things that really matter. I'm making sure that he's healthy and safe and that he's loved.
Yeah.
Right. And not, oh man, I'm not a good mom because I forgot the sunscreen again. Or or I didn't have all the snacks, you know, perfectly prepared, or he doesn't have crafts like that are ready to go for the whole summer. Like all those things that we kind of just put our pressure on. Anyway, all that to say, just that the mental load, I think, is something that we can take on and not really question. And sometimes it's worth questioning. It's worth questioning, why do I feel the pressure to do all of the things that, you know, I'm being told to, or in order to be enough, right? So it definitely all plays a part in what clutters up our mind. So in the mini challenge, the 10-minute activity is a brain dump. So it's just to get all of our stuff out on paper, to just get it out of our brain so that we're not just like having to think, okay, I can't forget that. I can't forget that. Mm-hmm. I can't forget that. Right.
It's amazing how that simple thing creates so much space.
Absolutely.
Once I started writing literally everything down, mostly in, I'm sorry, it is digital, but yeah, in like my phone calendar, then I'm like, oh. Right, I don't have to remember it because I have a reminder in my phone.
Yeah.
See, back to digital being a blessing from the Lord.
That's right.
Through the medium of his creation.
Yeah, no, exactly. So it's some of those practical things like using our calendar well and having systems in place and that sort of thing where we can eliminate some of the overthinking that just clutters up our mind.
Yeah. The angle I was thinking about when it came to decluttering the mind was more how we were thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that you're talking about what is actually in our minds, what sorts of things we are dwelling on. And the how we're thinking does relate to what you were saying with how you're starting to feel inadequate as a mother and being like, wait, that's a lie from the enemy.
Yeah.
Like making it a skill, a habit, a reflex to be able to take our thoughts captive.
Mm, yeah. Like
that is a foundational practice as Christians. Again, not just because, yes, we've been commanded to, but because this is where there is ground taken for the kingdom of God and against the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Even thinking of the context of that verse with taking every thought captive. So it's in 2 Corinthians 10. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not wage war in the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God.
Mm.
And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ.
Yeah, that's so good.
I flippin' love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? So, and again, just thinking of destroying arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. So actually training ourselves to be able to destroy the arguments that, you know, the enemy, whatever our circumstances, our emotions are putting into our minds, and being able to recognize, wait, does this align with what the Lord has said about himself, about me, about identity, whatever it is, and not letting those thoughts just linger and going into spiraling down.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about feeling the emotions in the next section, because of course we don't want to ignore that.
Yeah.
But thinking again, although we walk in the flesh, we don't wage war in the flesh. So remembering that we are in a spiritual battle. that the enemy wants to take away our freedom, which does really start in the mind and the heart. Mm-hmm. Are we recognizing our identity, and are we living in that surrender so that we can actually walk in that freedom?
Mm-hmm.
And it's very easy for the condemnation that Christ has said there's no condemnation in him for us to take it upon ourselves.
Yeah.
Right. And totally. To be like, I'm just not good enough. Oh, I failed. Sometimes it can even almost seem like humility, something like that. But recognizing, wait, does my opinion come more than the Lord's?
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to take that kind of arrogant stance to say that what I think about myself is more important than what the Lord thinks?
Yeah, that's right.
And to allow, like Galatians 5, the beginning, it says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. So Christ has said we're free, but it's so easy to get back under that yoke of slavery, right?
Yeah.
And so that taking the thought captive, it's a training.
Mm-hmm.
It's a habit. It's like we want to get those synaptic pathways flowing in the direction of truth and recognizing, oh, this is a lie.
Yeah. It takes a while to realize, though, what is holding us captive. What thoughts are we a slave to? And I mean, I think that comes with just a lot of discernment and a lot of prayer, but it also comes with like making room to actually just be in silence and acknowledging what we're thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that is a decluttering, right?
Yep.
That's making room for us to hear from Holy Spirit and to take our thoughts captive with him.
So. Yeah. And that's a really good point. That discerning that is also a practice and spiritual skill. So I guess when we get to the spirit and heart, so in terms of spirit being like, okay, what is the voice of the Holy Spirit? Not only in our own personal walks, but knowing scripture and what has he said so that I can realize that when thoughts come in my brain, I'm like, oh, wait, this doesn't align with something that I read the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then also our emotions, which we're going to go to, we can feel when, oh, I'm at peace. You know, I'm angry at something that's unjust versus I'm angry at myself. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling shame. I'm feeling closed. I'm feeling whatever it is to actually recognize that and be like, oh, maybe there's something at the root of that. Maybe there's some lie that is living within me that hasn't yet been exposed to the light of Christ, right?
Totally. So yeah, that actually segments really well into the heart, right? For us to identify what we're slave to, what are the lies. And one of the things that we are carrying that we're not actually meant to carry. I have found through this last year, I ended up doing this inner healing program and being able to just more quickly identify what are the lies that I'm believing and how it actually is affecting me and how it's affecting my marriage and the way that I parent and like the kind of friend that I am. And so I guess that would be like a challenge to all of us is to, okay, Lord, I want you to reveal to me what are the things that I am carrying, the lies that I'm believing that I am not meant to carry anymore. And I've never meant to carry them in the first place since being in relationship with Jesus, right? So those are some of the things that really clutter us up is the lies that we believe about ourselves, about God, about our relationships. Yeah.
I'm just thinking about the heart reminds me of how far I have come when it comes to the emotional aspect of being human.
Yeah.
Because of course, well, I guess I shouldn't say of course, but the heart in scripture doesn't just mean emotions.
Right.
Like it is the seat of life or strength. It's sometimes translated as the inner man, the inner woman, the inner person.
Mm-hmm.
So the mind, soul, spirit, one's entire emotional nature and understanding would be the heart. And so when you know, in Proverbs it says to guard your heart above all else from towards the wellspring of life. And when Jesus said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Mm.
So recognizing how the heart, guarding it, as in guarding what goes into it, our relationship with it, keeping it open to the Lord and to others is so central to our ability to be able to move through the world and to be able to grow and be sanctified. But sometimes in our culture and certain personalities such as my own might just see the negative aspects of emotional being and be like, oh, this is getting in the way of being whatever I see as a good person or being in control of myself or emotions. So then we just kind of try to cut it off or stuff it down without recognizing that, again, the Lord created our emotions. He created it as a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
It has been broken by sin, but it's in the process of being redeemed because we are now under his rule. And so, Lord, how what is the good in emotions? What is the purpose? What information do we get from it? How does it allow us to connect with you and to others? And how can that be an aspect of us that we are growing, that is becoming more mature and complete, right?
And I see that also, not only, you know, maybe someone like you who is, you know, wants to detach maybe from emotions a little bit more. For me, I've almost felt like my heart or my emotions were broken because they were just so extreme, right? And again, being someone who's maybe a little bit more black and white and just learning that just because my emotions are sometimes really hard for me, doesn't make them in and of themselves a bad thing.
Yes.
Right? And being able to hold both, that like, yes, my emotions can hurt, but they also can be so good. And it's actually like a really great part of how God has wired me.
Yeah.
And yet wanting to like redeem the part, allowing God to redeem the part that hurts sometimes.
Yes.
Right.
And be present with the hurt. So yes, of course, the Lord is king of bringing beauty from ashes. Yeah. And he does make all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. But also even just thinking about how the Psalms, there are more Psalms of lament than there are Psalms of praise, both individual and communal lament. And thinking of David being a man after God's own heart, I can't help but wonder if he didn't go into those places of grief and pain and go with there with the Lord, these places where your heart is more open than in any other state, and to connect with the Lord there.
Yeah.
Like, could he have that depth of relationship with the Lord without those times of pain? I mean, seeing that beauty in emotions is not only the so-called positive emotions, but also the so-called negative emotions.
Yeah.
And that the fullness of those emotions allows us to have this fullness of connection with the Spirit and with others and with creation all around us, right?
Yeah, totally. Next one is our body. And when I was thinking about putting the challenge together, one of the things that we want to make sure was that it was a really holistic challenge, that we are holistically decluttering from our lives. And sometimes there's like, it can be kind of hard to talk about our bodies, you know, and whether it be in kind of a spiritual sense where, you know, we're always competing with the flesh and that sort of thing, or it's more like, I'm not happy with my body. I'm uncomfortable with my body, my physical self.
All been there.
Yeah. And so knowing kind of like how to approach this, even within the challenge, was kind of a challenge for me. It's like, okay, how do we make sure that it feels still like we're being respectful and, you know, and conscious of that. But we were just discussing about, why are we even including the body in a decluttering challenge anyway?
Yeah.
And I loved your response to that. So I would love for you to share.
I flippant love this topic because my perspective has changed so dramatically over the last handful of years. Just realizing how my theology was so impoverished, and our theology really does change the way that we approach everything in life. And a lot of our theology is quite subconscious, right? And so again, going back to what we were talking about in the beginning, conceiving of all of our existence, all of history, all of time through the lens of the first chapters of scripture, where the Lord made all of creation good. It was broken. Christ came back to redeem it. And we're in the process of being redeemed, right? And so every molecule, everything physical, there's something that is glorious about it, right? Like the glory of the Lord is being revealed through it. That means my body, my cells, my the macro, the micro, all of that. Because unfortunately, I used to have a conception of the gospel as, you know, the Lord made all of us, we were perfect, and then we sinned. And so Jesus is going to come back to take us from this bad, dirty, terrible world, all the physical stuff, our bodies are bad. He's going to take our spirits away so we can be off floating in heaven because spiritual world is good. But then I realized, looking through scripture, that that's actually not in there. That's not in the Bible. That's interpretations that in, you know, the days of the early church, just past the early church, other philosophies like Greek philosophies, Gnosticism, things like that, where they would see the body as bad and the physical as bad and the mind only is good.
Right.
That started to filter in.
Right.
But that is very anti-gospel. That is very anti-scripture. And so if I have this mentality that, well, yeah, this body is temporary in the sense of it's this temporary evil that I have to suffer until we get to, you know, be off in our spiritual land, I'm not going to have a perspective that's like, I should honor this body. If I think it's even just subconsciously, if I'm thinking it's bad.
Yeah.
So having that change in my basis of thinking mm-hmm. has very much changed my interaction with my body, with the physical world, to have this appreciation and recognition of the Lord's glory being manifest mm-hmm. through all of the physical things. And the other aspect, thinking of my body is not my own.
Yeah. Yeah.
So because we were bought with a price. So even if I'm still in this thinking like, oh, I'm bad, I'm dirty, I'm ugly, whatever those things are. But then if I really am believing I was bought with a price, my body is no longer my own. I am not my own. I'm offering my body daily as a living sacrifice. So if this me, this body, is something that is now the Lord's, mm-hmm. how should I treat something that is the Lord's? Wow. That is sacred, that is set apart, right? Yeah. So that mentality, that basis changes everything for me. So
wow. That's, I love that, because that's just so, it's so whole. I mean, we can try to guilt ourselves into treating our bodies the right way because we want like a certain outcome, right? And I think that's kind of, especially as women, where we tend to go, right? Yep. Because we have all the external pressure. But I mean, there's something so beautiful about that, that like, just like how we steward our finances or our relationships or whatever the case might be, mm-hmm. our time, we steward our body, and we steward it because it's a good thing that's been given to us by the Lord. And I hope that regardless of the condition of our body, whether it is maybe how we feel about our appearance, or maybe we're going through an illness and, or for myself, having gone through 4 years of infertility and not being able to have another child at this point, I can go to a place of not liking my body, right? Yeah. Of being like, I don't like this. I don't like the way that it's treating me. It's betraying me. Being able to be sad about that, but also mm-hmm. fully surrendering to God's sovereignty, and in whatever way I can, to be able to surrender it and steward it as best as I possibly can, regardless of what it's done to me or what I've been through with my own body, right?
Yeah, and I so appreciate that, Leah, bringing back in the heart stuff and the mind stuff. Mm-hmm. And again, with that foundation of we are in the process of being redeemed. So there's going to be parts of our being right now where it's like, this is broken. There's brokenness here and it's not redeemed yet. Mm-hmm. And to be sad about that and grieve with the Lord. And then also to be able to hold the things that we can celebrate, because there are aspects where it's like, our bodies are amazing.
Yeah.
To be able to like, wow, this digestive system, I've given you a lot of hard work to do and you are digesting right now, right?
Yeah.
That my hips can move properly so I can walk, and my knee joints and all those things, but to be able to give glory to the Lord mm-hmm. in the ways that it is functioning, and at the same time to be able to grieve the ways that it's not. Our theology is functioning.
Yeah.
Like it is, our theology has legs when mm-hmm. we're doing that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Right. Last one is the Spirit. And we want to make room for Holy Spirit. Obviously, if we're not decluttering him, that wouldn't be good.
Thanks for clarifying that. I'm pretty sure that's what everyone was thinking.
Well, you never know. But we're making room for him. On a practical level, that looks like the disciplines, which we have talked about a ton on the show about, right? Like about worship and being in the word and prayer and silence and solitude, like all of those things, right? Where we can make space for him to speak to us and for us to get to know him better and his character better. Because we're able to get to know his character better, then we're also making room for us to recognize his voice, to recognize when it is him speaking to us versus the enemy, versus anything that would want to distract us from where God is calling us. Especially where God is calling us in our abundant living, right? Yeah. And so I think that that's a really important thing, that we don't even realize why we're doing those disciplines sometimes. One of the things that I'm trying not to do is do them just to make myself feel better, right? But I'm actually wanting to do it so that I can be transformed, so that I can get to know him better, so that I can have a deeper relationship with him. And so those disciplines help facilitate that.
Mm-hmm. And to walk in freedom. Right? Yeah. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ from the law of sin and death. Mm-hmm. So either we are walking in freedom or we are, once again, in bondage to the sin, the power of sin, and the power of death, right? Yeah. And the spiritual one, decluttering the spirit, one, it does tie back into everything else. Right? So especially thinking of mind and heart, so being able to identify, is the voice that we're hearing in our mind, is that the voice of the spirit?
Right.
When we know the character of the Lord, then we can identify that better. And even with heart, I was just thinking, I think we all have times of struggle where we're like, is this conviction of the Holy Spirit, or is this condemnation? Right. Because when the thing is that's being identified is something that we can say, this is not of the Lord, but is this feeling?
Right.
Is this
like guilt and false guilt?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a part of it too. And so it's amazing how, yes, we can recognize that this is something that needs to be changed in our lives.
Right.
But then it can still be a tool for the enemy to get a foothold and bring us back into condemnation. So is this sense of, okay, Lord, you've convicted me of this. You've told me that there should be a shift here. Mm-hmm. Is this leading me to repentance and closer to the Lord? Yeah. Is this wanting me to draw into him? Or is it making me want to run away in shame?
Mm-hmm.
Is this going, can I see this as leading to freedom and joy, painful? And it hurts, and I have to have grief over my sin, but it makes me want to go into his arms and so grateful that you, that Lord, you are exposing this so your light can shine on it, and so it can become illuminated and become a light, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's ultimately what we want, right? We want to be transformed. We're in the redemption process.
Yeah.
Continually, right? Where it's the here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And so being able to be surrendered to that process in our mind and our heart and our body, whatever the case might be, right?
Yeah.
That comes from getting to know his voice better and his character and acknowledging who he is in our lives.
Yeah, it is definitely an adventure. And also thinking of making room for the spirit. I know that last episode we talked about gratitude, but I think it would be relevant to bring it up once again here. Because if there is any refrain that is repeated over and over throughout the epistles, it is to rejoice, to come with thanksgiving. And Paul so often writing from prison and just having however many lashes, 39 times, however many times, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, don't forget to be thankful. Don't forget to come into the courts of praise, right?
Yeah.
And recognizing that this is one of our greatest weapons in the battle for our hearts, for our minds, to break off any strongholds, any hooks that the enemy wants to have in us to draw us back into bondage, right? And so I don't know if you have experienced this, but I hope so, because there's definitely times where I might be spiraling down in whatever ways of condemnation, things like that. I remember a few years specifically when I was in school and I was struggling with all of this condemnation. I could feel myself spiral, and then I would go on these gratitude walks where I definitely did not want to be thankful.
Yeah.
And even though I'm definitely a person that can see all the gratitude around me, but it's so easy to become myopic with whatever self-condemnation. So I'd go on these walks where I just keep on repeating anything I could think of to be grateful for. And I'd be, you know, maybe it's through tears and just saying, well, Lord, thank you that I can walk. Thank you that I can walk safely. Thank you that I have language that I could speak to. Thank you that you've revealed yourself. And I'll keep going until there is a shift in the spiritual. And it's like, you can feel the stronghold or whatever the right word is being loosed. It's like you can feel the enemy being bound up, right? And so there's something very powerful. It's a powerful weapon that we have as Christians, that gratitude.
Totally. The one that came to mind was that I would believe that it would be our gratitude towards the Lord would be repulsive to the enemy.
Preach. Drop that mic if it wasn't attached to a stand.
Oh, the boom mic. But that's what comes to mind, is like he would need to flee like that.
Yeah.
That would just be so repulsive. That's the word that comes to mind. So
And oftentimes that can be as well the avenue to enter into that communion with the Lord, to work through some of those things. So that doesn't mean that you're going to not actually go through whatever the grief, the pain, those things that are coming up, but gratitude should still be a part of that. It should like start and be the completion of that as well.
Yeah.
Totally. I could go on and on, but I should probably stop.
Well, this has been so good. I am just so grateful that we could do this, because I have learned so much from your wisdom, and my theology is being shaped by our conversations. And so I'm really excited to be able to share you with our listeners and for them to get to know you and your heart a little bit more. And you're just have so much wisdom to share. So super, super grateful for you, my friend.
That is very kind of you, and also quite a high mantle. So as always, bring any of this to the Lord so that the wisdom of the Lord, which is way better than our wisdom, can guide you, sanctify you.
That's right.
Go into the scriptures yourself and also in community, right? Mm-hmm. Have these discussions in community.
Absolutely.
And challenge each other, like Leah challenged me to step out from the shadows for a moment where I love to live. Just in the shadows, anonymous. So nice and comfortable, but the comfortable life is not always synonymous with the abundant life, so.
Well, I think you're a natural. I think that you did very, very well, so I'm very proud of you. But we're going to wrap up with our ending questions. You've edited so many of these, and now it's your turn.
You'd think I'd be prepared.
All right, so first question that we always ask is, what are some resources that you would recommend to us about this topic? It's a little tough because we've covered a lot of things today.
That topic of all of life and existence. Oh, that one. Well, I know it is the cliche, but it's cliche for a reason, to go into scripture. But really, like, this is how we renew our minds, by delving into scripture, by memorizing it. And I would also encourage us to not only listen to Carol E. Cobble, who is wonderful at redirecting us to seeing the character of God in scripture, and not only, okay, what are our personal applications? Okay, yes, there's a place for it, but scripture was written for us, but it wasn't written to us. Like, there's these contexts that bring so much more life to scripture. Mm-hmm. So yes, read scripture, but also maybe I can link in some good commentaries in there as well. And of course, there's so many books and tools out there, but most recent in my mind is one I just finished, The Epic of Eden by Sandra L. Richter. Richer, who knows? But Epic of Eden. And what a beautiful book for grounding and expanding a proper understanding of scripture.
Yeah.
And allowing us to extract a more full theology out of it. And again, a functional theology, one that changes the way that we interact not only with scripture, but with the Lord, with each other, with our work, and with the rest of the world. Which reminds me of another book that I love. I haven't read it in a number of years, but because work is such a major part of our lives. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we can think of it as kind of tangential to our Christian life, especially if it's not in ministry. Or maybe we think of it as, oh, we can witness to the people at work. But there's so much more to it in our Christian life. And a great book on that is Every Good Endeavor by Timothy Keller. Mm-hmm. And he does a wonderful job of uprooting some of the poor theology of work that has infiltrated the church and laying foundations that can change the way that we interact with work and do work. So love that one.
Oh, awesome.
All right, Leah, question for you. Mm-hmm. If you could assign one piece of homework to our listeners, actually, I should say, I know you want to assign one piece of homework to our listeners. What is it?
This week, quite simply, I would like you to do the Life Decluttered Mini Challenge. I'm really proud of this challenge, actually. I think it's going to be a really good starting point for us as we learn to declutter in our lives in a really holistic way, surrendering every area of our lives to the Lord. You know, we want to experience the abundant life in all areas. I am praying that all of you experience abundant life in your home, in the way that you spend your time, in your digital space, with your own body, with your mind, heart, and in your interaction with the Holy Spirit. So that is the homework, is for you guys to do the Life Decluttered Mini Challenge. And the way that you can do that, there'll be a link in the show notes and you can grab that PDF. There, we're actually today, the 13th, we are going to be doing it live with everyone. So if you join today, then you can get all the emails that will come in for the challenge that will encourage you. And there'll be a little video for a tip for that day's task. But if you want, you can also do it self-paced. So you can either join us live and get extra goodies, or you can do it self-paced at any time. And we would also love to hear if you completed the challenge. So if you actually did it, message me on Instagram. You can find me at FaithSchoolPod and just send me a DM. I'd love to know how the challenge went and what you learned. All right. Is there anything else that you would like to share with us? Yvette, you go first.
I would just like to end on highlighting another part of that verse we talked about earlier, that 1 Peter 1:13, setting your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So just want to emphasize that setting your hope fully on the grace from Christ. Mm. And as I know, it's the grace to be brought to us, but just remembering that throughout this whole process, we are in the messy middle of this world being redeemed. There's going to be ups, downs, where there's going to be times that we are cluttered. There's going to be times we are distracted. There's going to be times that we are, you know, spiraling into the condemnation, whatever it is. But remembering that Christ is the victor. We are his. We are in his hands. And his grace is so abundant. His grace is more than enough, more than sufficient to bring us into this abundant life and to redeem when we mess up.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's really important to remember is through different seasons, right? We're going to experience abundant life in different ways.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome. And what I would like you guys to know is I'm hoping and praying that as you've listened to the last few episodes, as we wrap up the semester over the next few, that you feel invited to the abundant life. And that the abundant life is so much more than what we have made it out to be in within evangelical culture. And
So much simpler. So much simpler.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That we don't have to earn God's affection by doing more, 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 but rather that we can receive from him and receive the abundant life, which I think is going to look a lot different than the material things and the striving and all the ways that we have kind of set ourselves out to do it within our Christian culture. So I'm just praying that you feel invited to the abundant life and that we can just continue to explore what that really looks like.
Yeah, and invited to be in process. So in light of that, also, if you don't complete the challenge, but you get one little step of it, also message Leah, let her know. Let her know how you went about it or what is the one step that you're like, I'm going to take this one and focus on this one for this season, whatever it is. We'd love to hear that too.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Wasn't that like fire? It was also just so much fun to have one of my best friends join me in person. But I have to say that maybe next time we should maybe get you a different mic, Yvette, because you guys, she wasn't kidding when she said that our faces were super close so that we could record. Yeah, that really happened. Join us for the challenge this week to continue your journey more fully available to Jesus and the goodness of our God. Grab the link for the challenge in our show notes. Next episode, we have the delightful Mary Morantz back on the show to talk to us about making room for slow growth. This is a really beautiful conversation about putting down striving and picking up freedom, grace, and purpose in an overachieving world. Follow us on your favorite podcast platform so that you do not miss this episode. If you want to catch me on the socials, you can find me at leah.rempel or at faithschoolpod on Instagram, or you can subscribe to our new YouTube channel, Faith School. We are happy to continue serving you on those platforms. Thank you for spending a little time with us today at Faith School. We are praying that you feel fully surrendered today to the God who made you, loves you, and wants to partner with you. Class is now dismissed. Go out there and reveal his kingdom.